This reading is taken from the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. God always blesses the reading of his inspired and his infallible word. Amen.
Well, it's good to be here tonight to minister the word of God to you. We are really standing on holy grounds. The history of this house is rich. And we've had a time that, you know, things were not really working very well for us. Now, that is in the past. And the scripture that Isokan read for us said, you know, forgetting those things which are behind, we're pressing forward, looking forward. And that's what the theme that Pastor Malcolm has brought this season, the theme is advance. Amen? And somebody once said that you can never see Usain Bolt when he was on the scene running his 100 meters dash and looking backwards. No, the focus is on crossing that finishing line. And that's when he goes. But before that time, he's focused. He's pressing forward towards that goal. He wants that gold medal again. He wants his name up there again as the fastest man in the world. So also are we. We've got our own race to run. The good thing about our race as Christians is that we are not competing against each other. You have your race to run. I've got mine to run. But we have principles in scriptures that tells us how to run that race. And if we are going to advance, and I want to focus on spiritual advancement tonight. If we're going to advance in our lives, in our careers, there are so many things we have to do. So, for example, you know, if you're out there working in the marketplace, one of the ways you can advance yourself is to retrain yourself because of AI. Okay, if you are in a job that, you know, a machine can do better, you got to retrain yourself. I came through the airport this morning, and in Dublin, I realized that because I checked in online, when I got to the airport, there was nobody to really, you know, so there was only one person. I went to the person, what am I supposed to do? I need to drop my bag. I said, okay, go to that scale there, put your bag on it, and then, you know, scan your boarding pass and press that button, and your ticket will come out. Take the machine, scan your barcode, and then put it on the trolley, on the thing, you know, conveyor belt. And that was it. Whereas before, there would be about three people on the counter checking you in, taking your bag, and all that. And I was just thinking, goodness, so if you're going to advance in your life, in your career, especially for those of us who have children who are going to university now, we better sit down with them and talk to them about what they're going to do. It cannot be something that AI can take over. Okay, that's the only thing I'm going to speak about, you know, talking about practical stuff, you know, to advance. I want to focus on spiritual stuff tonight. So how do we advance spiritually? How do we take advantage of the theme that we have and work on our spiritual life. I have three points I want to make tonight, and then I'll dig deep into them. So retrain yourself in your career, and also retrain yourself spiritually, because the world we live in, I'm sorry to say, is not going to get brighter and brighter. It's going to get darker and darker. Now, that's not supposed to get us to be afraid, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but out of love, of power, and of soundness of mind. But those things are scary when you say it's going to get darker. Then what do we do? But we are children of light. We are supposed to shine brighter and brighter in the darkness. Hallelujah. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. So as it gets darker and darker, we must ensure we shine brighter and brighter. Years ago, before I came to London, because before I came from my home country, I was in Bible school, and I had to lead, as part of my training, I had to lead a group of people on evangelism every Saturday. My group was known as Saturday for Jesus. And so one day, a brother came and joined us. And so I got into a conversation with him. And he was telling me how he used to be in a particular cult in Nigeria. The cult was called Guru Maharaji cult. And he was telling me about how they operate and all that. And then he said something that really, really blessed me. This has been over 30 years now or so. And he said, whenever they do their astral projection into the spirit, that they always warn them. When you see a bright light coming, just pack yourself aside. Because that's a spiritual Christian. Spiritual, not religious. Spiritual, not religious. Do not attempt to attack that person. You will come down with the same ailment you want to give the person. But if you see a dim light, you can try and size it out and see whether you can, you know, manipulate that thing and then attack it. But when you see somebody who just has this filmy light all around them, not stable, you know, that's a weak Christian. Go for them. So the realm of the spirit is real to some of us. And the realm of the spirit must be real to you as a Christian. If you are going to exercise governmental authority that Jesus has given you and I, you have to become spiritual. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. You've got to become spiritual. Not religious. Spiritual. How do you advance spiritually? You need knowledge. Knowledge. Paul says, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. How much of Jesus' knowledge do you really have? I'm not talking about the kindergarten ones, like, you know, three wise men came to visit Jesus, you know, and all that stuff. No, three wise men did not come. The Bible says wise men came. Those were things we learned, you know, in kindergarten. Have you graduated from kindergarten? Are you going higher and higher in your knowledge? And when the Bible says knowledge, the Bible is not just talking about mental assent, you know, mental knowledge. The Bible is talking about intimacy, to know Jesus intimately. To know that you 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 know that Jesus is truly your Lord. Like Pastor Colinda used to say in those days, if Jesus is your Lord, then no other spirit can lord it over you. If Jesus is my Lord, no other spirit can lord it over me. I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. That means I'm not standing in front of you tonight because I'm this one powerful, wonderful, anointed man of power for the hour. No, I'm standing here by the grace of God. Not by my own righteousness, but by the righteousness that Jesus credited into my account the day I gave my life to him. Hallelujah. Oh, be excited because you have the same. Don't be jealous. You have the same thing. You have it too. That is the reason why we have to grow in our knowledge spiritually. To know those things that have been freely given to us. Because I want to assure you, everyone under the sound of my voice, there's going to come a day in your life you will have to exercise power. When you cannot reach your cell leader, you cannot reach Pastor Claudette or Pastor Debbie or Pastor Malcolm or your primary 12 leader. You cannot reach anybody. In the middle of the night, your phone is dead. You can't even call. You need to stand in the knowledge of Christ that you have. I said to somebody, you know, recently, I said, why are you always telling me that the devil is chasing you? For goodness sake, Jesus died for you on the cross. When are you going to start chasing the devil? Yeah? If you can't chase the devil, at least you can stand. Ephesians 6 says so. After you've done all to stand, keep standing. And the Bible says that, you know, all you have to do is to resist him. And he will do what? He will flee. You are not just saying, Satan. That was why, you know, when I was growing up as a young Christian, because actually I gave my life to Christ in my 30s, which was a terrible thing. It's one of the greatest regrets of my life that I didn't know Jesus in my teenage years. What a horrible thing to happen to a man and a woman. And so when we started learning about spiritual warfare, it's all about, Satan, I resist you. Satan, I resist you. I put on the whole armor of God. Helmet of salvation, you know, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the spirit. And nothing was moving. Boots of the preparation of the gospel. Nothing moved. Until we were now taught that, no, it's not, you know, like one silly man who went to the zoo in one of the universities in you know, somewhere. We shall cover that somewhere with, you know, grace of not naming the place. Went into the zoo, and when the zookeepers were not looking, he jumped into the zoo with his white garment in front of the lion, say, Ja, 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 I resist you, Ja, Ja. Well, just to say that he didn't come out alive. So it's not the book you are holding. We don't even know whether it was a Muslim that walked in the factory where this was made. Or a New Ager. When you hold this book, it's graphics. When you open it, it becomes the Logos. The general word of God. But now when you begin to read and to meditate in it, it becomes the Rhema word of God. The Rhema word of God is what we take to the place of war. It's the sword of the spirit. You know, I've been to churches where I see people, you know, different things are happening in the Pentecostal world in Africa. You know, we're going to sit on Pastor Malcolm's head so that we can take theology to Africa. Please understand me. The best preachers are from Africa. The best preachers in the world, T.D. Jakes does not compare to them, nor Creflo Dollar. We have the most fantastic preachers in Africa. But there's little doctrine and theology. That's why somebody will say, you know, when you're coming to church on Friday night for the all-night prayer meeting, you must bring a machete with you. Bring a machete or bring a rod or bring a cane because we're going to flog the witches and we're going to kill the devil. You cannot kill the devil. You can muzzle him, you can bind him, you can cast him, but you can't kill him. And you can't flog him. You cannot even flog his demons. So when I'm talking about knowledge, I'm talking about the real knowledge of the Word of God. Thank you, my sister. Have you been reading my notes? No. The real knowledge of the Word of God. So when the Bible talks about knowledge, it's talking about intimate knowledge. The knowledge that you have that makes you know that you count every other thing as dung for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And nothing will take you away from pursuing that knowledge. Because the more you know him, the more you want to know him. That's why I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry. I apologize if this sounds arrogant. But I cannot accept that somebody says, oh, I was a Christian, but now I'm not a Christian, I'm a Muslim. Oh, I'm an atheist. You never met Jesus Christ the Lord. You never met him. You didn't meet him. And that is why our pursuit, in order to advance, in our pursuit of advancement, we must pursue the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because in times of trouble, that will be your anchor. In the storms of life, that you know him. That was why Paul was saying, when it comes to pedigree, let me tell you about myself. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the stock of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day, concerning the law, blameless. I knew the law. But when I came to know Jesus, that was dung. That was self-righteousness. That is like filthy rags before God. Now I'm pursuing the righteousness that comes from Jesus and him alone. Hallelujah. And then he says that I may know him. Now, I mean, dear Apostle Paul, excuse me, sir, are you crazy? That you may know him. After going to the third heavens, I haven't even been in the one heaven. He's been to the third. And he's still saying, I mean, it's to challenge us and challenge our faith that there is more in Jesus. Hallelujah. There is more to your faith, to your profession of faith in Jesus than just carrying a big Bible. No. So I want to talk to us about the knowledge of three things that we must have. We must pursue it. We must pursue it every day of our lives in order for us to advance. Amen? Because the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, you know, that my people perish for lack of knowledge. We don't go into captivity to Satan because we lack money. But because we lack knowledge. In fact, it's lack of knowledge that puts us in different situations where we don't have what Jesus said is freely given to us. So the first thing that we must know about and learn about and pursue the knowledge of is faith. We all know that. I'm not going to dwell on that because, you know, let me just say to you, everybody, God has given us, the Bible says that God has dealt to us a measure of faith. You cannot give your life to Jesus unless you have that measure of faith. It's impossible. It's impossible. So God gives everybody in the world, not just Christians alone, a measure of faith. And that measure of faith is what we call natural faith. Tonight, please excuse me, let me call it placebo faith. Okay, you know that, you know, in medicine, when they are trying out a new drug, they would get people who needed the drugs, they would give some people the original, and then they would give some people placebo, fake ones, chalk. And sometimes, those who got the placebo, they get well. They get well. Why? Because of their expectation and the belief that this drug will help them. That's natural faith. Everybody has it. Everybody has it. But the faith that Jesus gave us It's the spiritual one. It's the one that can move mountains. Placebo faith cannot move mountains. Placebo faith is gambling faith. Today you win, tomorrow you lose, or you don't lose, or you don't win. But spiritual faith, the faith that Jesus has given us, the faith that we must pursue, is a spiritual one. Comes from the word of God. Hallelujah. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The source of spiritual faith is the word of God. And that's why, as a Christian, your Bible must be your best friend. Not TikTok. Not Emmerdale. Not scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. If I believe those who, you know, please forgive me if you're a computer scientist or, you know, those who worked out the algorithm that when they put something in front of you, you know, it releases dopamine in your brain that wants you to, before you know it, you've been scrolling for 3 hours. And you haven't spent 15 minutes in your Bible. You see, that algorithm, I think is demonic. Yeah, you know, I think so. Why is faith important? Because number one, we can't please God without faith. Number two, because it is the currency of heaven. You want to transact business with heaven, it's faith. There's no other currency. And so, transacting business with heaven, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. To get your blessings from the spiritual realm, you've got to have faith. It is faith, spiritual faith, that assures you that as you're sitting in here tonight, you're also seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That you're there. I believe the moment as a child of God, you are born again, and we're going to get to that, you know, to be born of the Spirit in a minute. The moment you close your eyes, or the moment you make up your mind that you really want to pray, I want to engage with heaven, I want to pray, you are already in the throne room in heaven. Your physical body is still here, but your spiritually, you are in there, in the throne room. Hallelujah. Remember Daniel, the Bible says that as soon as he purposed in his heart to seek God, Daniel chapter 9 or chapter 10, that his voice was heard on high. He had not even started praying, but he had made up his mind, I am going to pray to God. The Bible says that his voice was heard in heaven. Now, Daniel was not sitting in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You and I are. So what makes you think that, you know, some of us, when we pray, we think our prayer is not rising above the ceiling. It's a lie. That's the devil. You are sitting right next to Jesus. Your voice is loud and clear in heaven. Let me hear you say amen. Amen. Those are, you know, realities in our lives that we must embrace. You cannot embrace those realities until you become spiritual. So I'm talking to you tonight about faith, number one, about your spiritual identity, not your identity in Christ. We all know a lot about identity in Christ, but I'm talking about your spiritual identity. And then the third thing is being part of a church, ecclesia, not church as we know it, but church as Jesus said, I will build. Those three things are very important for us to know. Okay. So, placebo faith is not going to work. So, how do you get spiritual faith? Is it from here? From the Word of God. Faith comes through hearing and hearing the Word of God. I remember one of the first books I read about faith that really challenged my life was a book written by Dr. Derek Prince. He said he was, you know, in Egypt or North Africa somewhere. He was in the British Army. He had this skin disease that was not walking, and he had become a Christian. He was an atheist, a philosopher, you know, because he studied Greek. He thought, okay, I'm going to read the Bible just to learn more Greek. And his professor said, don't do it. And he said, because the professor said, don't do it, he did it. And then he got saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so he said he was in the army, had this disease that was not, you know, allowing him to be himself. And so he was reading his Bible one day and he came upon that scripture. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's, he said it clicked in his mind. Because he was always saying to himself, oh, if only I can have faith. If only I can have faith. I can get rid of this sickness. And then suddenly the penny dropped. If I don't have faith, I can get it. Where can I get it? From the word of God. And he began to study the word of God. And he became one of the best Bible teachers that this country ever produced. Your faith, spiritual faith, will come from the word. Hallelujah. Start with at least one chapter a day. And see the Holy Spirit draw you and draw you and draw you into. Why? Because you want to advance spiritually. Not just because you want to know, oh, I know where that is in the Bible. No, because you want the light of the Holy Spirit giving you the rhema that you need to advance. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. I'm going to move on to our spiritual identity. Now, please listen to me very, very carefully. Because this changed my life. If I ask you now, who are you? Of course, you tell me your name. But if I say, all of us in this hall and those watching online, what kind of species are we? Sorry, we are human beings, aren't we? Yeah, we are. We are sons and daughters of God, yes. But naturally, we are what? Human beings. Human beings. But for you and I, that is wrong. That is wrong. You are a spirit being having a human experience. I'm going to say that again. You are a spirit being having a human experience. John chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. There was this man called Nicodemus who came to Jesus, sneaked into Jesus' backyard one night and had this conversation with Jesus. And Jesus said, you have to be born again. Am I going to go back into my mother's womb? No. That's not what I'm saying. And then Jesus says in verse 6, he that is born of the flesh is flesh. And he that is born of the spirit is spirit. So if you're here, or you're watching, and you are born again. You have been born into the kingdom of God by the Spirit of God. You are born of the Spirit, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and Master and King and Redeemer says, you are a spirit. That's the reason why when we face challenges in our lives, the first thing we want to resort to is human method. The gentleman I was talking about that I went out on evangelism with said to me, when we attack you spiritually, there's no medicine. There's no surgery. The doctors will see nothing. You can do all the scans and all the tests in the world. They will see nothing. Why? Because it's not physical, it's spiritual. The sons of darkness, they seem to understand these things more than us. But it's right there in this book. Jesus has not left us ignorant. That is why, as a child of God, you cannot afford in these days to be spiritually lazy. You can't. If you want to advance, you can't. Please let me say to you, when you see a philosophy, take off. An ideology, take off. And suddenly that ideology or philosophy is trying to take over the world and control everything. Please understand that there is a power and principality behind it. The reason Christianity went worldwide was because there is a spirit behind it. His name is the Holy Spirit. So in order for you to confront an agent of that philosophy, an ideology in your place of work, in your marketplace, think about Hollywood. Think about the music industry. If you want to go into that arena, then the Holy Spirit fire must be seen around you. So this gentleman I went on evangelism with said that when we see that light, sometimes you will see a new ager come up to you as a Christian who's prayed up, who's kidding with Jesus. They will take a look at you and say, I see an aura around you. Just smile and say to them, no, that's not an aura, it's the light of Jesus. Because you are surrounded by the white light of Christ through which nothing negative can penetrate. Our God is the one who dwells in light that is unapproachable. And every time you go into his presence, in prayer and in the study of the word, you come out with that light. Hallelujah. When Moses met him on the mountain, his countenance changed. He had to cover his face with a veil. It's the same thing with you. When you walk out of your house in the morning and that neighbor that doesn't really talk to you looks at you and says, good morning, bro. Oh, hello, how are you? As if they're seeing you for the first time. What are they greeting? The glory around you. The glory of God that is surrounding you. And we can all be carriers of his glory. You know, we sing a song where I come from. You will never share your glory with anybody. You are the Lord. That is your name. You are... It's wrong. Jesus said, he said in the Gospel of John, the glory that you gave me, I've given it to them. I carry Jesus' glory. And I couldn't have if he didn't share it. Yeah, there are some things in our theology and in our songs that needs to change. That needs to change. He said, my glory I will not give to an idol. You are not an idol. You are his child. Even your salvation, you and I, we didn't qualify. He still gave it. And because he gave it, because he wanted to give it, I might as well enjoy it. All the benefits that come from it, with it. Hallelujah. So your spiritual identity is very important. What is your spiritual identity? Your spiritual identity is that you are a spirit being having a human experience. That's why Jesus said to the woman at the well, you worship what you do not know. Those who worship God must worship him in truth and in spirit. I am not the one saying you are a spirit being. Jesus, your Lord and your Savior, says, if you are born of my spirit, you are a spirit. Now, what you got to do is to fight that doubt in your mind. That's why we in the church today, oh, hallelujah. God bless Pastor Malcolm Duncan. Please say amen. Say a big amen. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. When he came, he told us in the leadership, the first thing that God said I should do is to bring the word of God. You remember? We read the Bible from Genesis chapter 1 to the last verse in Revelation. Why? Why? I don't know what God said to him, but this is what God said to me. I created everything with my word. And I maintain everything by the power of my word. Hallelujah. I was here last Sunday in the evening. And I sat over there. And as the ministry was going on, the Holy Spirit said to me, Praise, what do you see? I said, Lord, I see the spirit of liberty. I see freedom in this house. And then the Holy Spirit said, look at some faces. What do you see? And I said, Lord, I see joy. And then he said to me, joy is back in the house. Joy is back in the house. Now, I'm not saying Pastor Malcolm brought joy. No, I'm saying his obedience to God brought the benefits and the blessings of God upon this house. When you hear the word of God, when you study the word of God, you are not studying it just for knowledge. You are studying it to obey. Because your obedience is what proves your faith. Without obedience, there's no faith. You have belief. I believe. Until you take that step of faith, that action of faith, your faith is not complete. Because faith has two sides, like the two sides of a coin. The first side is your belief. The second side is your action. When you put those two together, then that's when you have faith. So his obedience. And I was watching on Sunday in the spirit, and I began to see what God was doing. And God said to me, go and talk to that lady. Go and talk to that gentleman. Can I encourage every one of us to go out there and tell sons and daughters of this house who, like Elimelech in the book of Ruth, Elimelech left Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, and went to Moab with his family. He died. His two sons died. But Naomi, his wife, and her two daughters-in-law survived them. And then the Bible says that Naomi heard that there was bread in the house of bread. And Naomi didn't think about what would people say. She got up and said, yeah, when I get there, I'm going to tell them not to call me Naomi. Let them call me Mara. Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. But he still went. He went back to the house of bread. Please go and tell our all the sons and daughters of this house that have left that bread is back in the house of bread. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bring them back. Amen. Let them come and sit down with Pastor Malcolm or anybody in the leadership and ask questions. Because now there is bread in Bethlehem, Judah. Amen. So, you must pursue spirituality in the Word of God and through prayer. Go out there, let those people who have been intimidating you in that place of work, because they think that they have some authority or some power, let them become scared of you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let them be so scared of you that they come to you and say, there's something about you. And then you say, you want to know what it is? You want to know what it is? Come on Sunday. Come to a place called Kensington Temple on Sunday. Come and see. You must be prepared to spend the whole day. I'll buy coffee and lunch for you. Come for the 9 o'clock service. Come for the 11 o'clock service. You know, and you're not going to leave until after the 6 p.m. service. Then you are going to understand what you are seeing in me and around me. But there's a caution. Amen? Because the one who is going to do this work in us, he's called the Holy Spirit. Holy. Holy Spirit. Which means there are some places you can no longer go. There are some things you can't watch. There are some talks you can't engage with, especially if they mean gossip or backbiting or blackmailing, because the Holy Spirit is not going to sign up with you for that. So this transformation of our spiritual identity in order for us to advance requires some things that we must do. That we must do. Oh, from where I come from, when you want to join a cult, the rituals they take you through. The rituals they take you through. We have our own rituals also in the kingdom of God. Baptism is one of them. In water and in the spirit. There are our rituals. Evangelism is one of them. You can't say you love Jesus and don't evangelize. No. When you fall in love with Jesus, you must talk about him. Hallelujah. So your spiritual identity is very, very important for you to understand it. That you are a spirit being having a human experience. I am a spirit being having a human experience. I'm going to need the Holy Spirit to help me understand this more. So I must focus my attention on things that are holy. I must become righteousness conscious. Being righteousness conscious, I can explain it like this. Like a woman going to the church to get married. See that white robe? You know, that white gown, that wedding gown, white. Now, do you think that woman will go to the quick fit of the garage near her house and says, can I speak to the manager? And the manager comes and says, can you see I'm dressed for my wedding? Yes. Please, can you go into your garage and bring the dirtiest engine oil that you just taken out of a car and just baptize me with it? Because I want to look good for my husband. No, the engineer would quickly pick his phone and call the ambulance. No, you're wearing that white garment. You don't want anything to stain it. Your chief's bridesmaid, you know, knows that, no, nobody must step on this gown. There must be nothing. And that gown, you have it also, is called the righteousness of God. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteousness is a garment that you're wearing. And you must be careful that nothing comes around it that stains it. Why is that so important? Because you want to move in power. Because you want to advance with power. So your spiritual nature, you must begin to pay more attention to your spiritual nature. Because we've been so taught and so fed about being human. You know, yes, of course, we're human. I'm not denying that we're human. I'm just saying that it's a debt to you and to me that is beyond the surface. We are deeper than what we look like. Hallelujah. I'm looking at your pretty faces tonight and your handsome faces tonight. And yes, you're looking handsome and pretty, but I cannot see you. Because the real you is on the inside of you. That part of you that was created in the image and the likeness of God. The one Jesus says, when you are born again, that's who you are. A spirit human, a spirit person. You know, in the church, if we pay more attention to being spiritual, there are so many petty things that we engage in. Oh, and in these past 3 years, have we seen some in this house? Thank God. Thank God that things have turned around. Thank God that we went through some of those things so that we can learn. We can learn to love one another. We can learn one again to bring spirituality. I saw Pastor Malcolm last Sunday, almost apologetically, you know, saying, look, we're going to pray for some people to receive baptism, you know, of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to call out some things and, you know, if it concerns you, come out during the prayer time so that we can pray for you. And I'm saying, Father, thank you that this is coming back. But this was who we were. Kensington Temple, London City Church. We were, and we are still are by the grace of God. We are evangelical because we believe in the inerrancy and the infallibility of the Word of God. We are charismatic because we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we are Pentecostal because we believe in blasting in tongues. Shandahai. La proskotolendeboriaka shanderebo. And we have no apologies about it. Because it's the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. When God said to me, praise, go and tear down the altar of Baal in your father's house. I didn't know what to do. I just walked into my father's office and began to speak in tongues for 1 hour. Shandarabaka shikerebo, sonerimaka shandarababa. When 1 hour is over, I left. Second day, I came back. Third day, I came back. And then I took one of his instruments of consultation. And then I burnt it. And then he went and asked those spirits to come back. They said, they are not coming back. He said, why? They said, because your son has come to forbid us from coming back. Oh, yeah. Now, I tell these stories because that was before I became a pastor. This happened before I went to the first Bible school I went to. In fact, I think I was just 1.5 years old in the Lord. But I was raised in a house where I was taught that if any man being in Christ is a new creature, old things are passed away, all things have become new. I was taught that I was spiritual. There is a world to be won for Jesus. Get hold of yourself. Determine that you're going to grow spiritually and start walking towards growing spiritually. When the training comes back, join. If you can sing, join the worship team. Don't say, the day they know who I am, they will invite me. We are not going to invite you. Everybody you've seen on this platform, they came and said, can you please audition me? I want to sing for Jesus. Join a cell, please. Don't just join a cell. Determine you're going to become a cell leader. Very funny story I had. Somebody told me in this house. This man went to her, you know, he's been pursued. The wife is established in the cell. You know, the wife is committed in KT. But he's still, you know, in fact, he had two legs in the world. And his wife was trying to pull one leg in. You know, he kept coming to church. Finally, after a long time, he agreed that he was going to attend a cell meeting. So he went to the cell meeting, and then when the cell said, let's turn in our Bible to, you know, Peter, the epistle of Peter, chapter 2, he has to go to the index. So he said he felt embarrassed. And he said, when I come back next week, I will open any chapter I open before anybody. And he went and learned this, you know, the places where all the books are, Genesis, you know, Exodus, up to Revelation. So he came to the cell meeting excited the following week. And when the speaker said, let's open to the book of Habakkuk, he was there before anybody. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? His name is Dr. Solomon Osagie. But look at him today. Discipleship. That is the power of the discipleship that God has given us in this house. And we are not apologetic about it. So if you haven't joined our discipleship tribe, please do. Your life will never remain the same. Your life will never remain the same. Why am I saying that? Because I want to go to my third point quickly. Being part of the church. You know, what we know about the church today, in fact, I think one of the problems that we have in the church was created by the translators, especially when it comes to the word church, because it's really meaningless. It came from kak. I don't even know where kak comes from. But when Jesus said to Peter, I will build my church. What he said was, I will build my ecclesia. I will build my ecclesia. If they have left ecclesia there the way they left amen, we will have been forced to go and learn what ecclesia really means. Ecclesia, what we call the church today, that Jesus Christ said, I'm going to build, is a governmental arm of the kingdom of God. So as we are gathered here tonight, as ecclesia, we have the authority to govern anything in Kensington and Chelsea Borough. Amen. Thank you for those 3.5 amens. You see, from the Word of God where we get faith from. It is that faith that helps us to understand our spiritual identity. And our spiritual identity is what helps us to understand that we are a government. We, at least you can accept that you are a representative of the kingdom of God, because that's the reason why the Bible says that we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador, the ambassador of the United States of America to the United Kingdom, is the president of all the Americans in London. He's untouchable. He's untouchable. He has immunity. To invade the American embassy or the UK embassy anywhere in the world is to declare war on that nation. For the devil to send his minions to invade your life and your home is to declare war on the kingdom of God. But if you do not have that knowledge, every time something happens, you say, "Oh God, I went to KT yesterday. Lord, what do you want again? I gave my tithes. I gave the offering. When the man said, 'Lift up your hands and praise the Lord,' I praise the Lord." Excuse me. If Satan attacked Jesus and left him for a season, you think he's not going to attack you? I have good news for you. You are his number one enemy the day you gave your life to Jesus. Please, don't buy that nonsense that people say, "If I don't trouble the devil is not going to trouble me." No. No. He won't trouble you if you are useless for the kingdom of God. He won't, because you already have, he's got you. But just because you woke up this morning and say, "I praise you, Jesus," say, "Where is that coming from?" I'm telling you the truth. You are his enemy. And therefore, you have to know how to confront him. Let me start by saying again, number one, please dive into the Word of God. Recently, I was talking somewhere, I can't remember where I was preaching, and I was telling them about how I went to somewhere in North London. Years ago, my kids were very young then. We were taking them to this hall where they have play areas that are soft plays. You know, they climb the slide, and then they go into all this soft stuff, and they were, okay. So they were playing, and I said, "Okay, I don't have to keep an eye on them. Everything here is enclosed." So I sat down on a table, bought a cup of coffee, and I opened a book to read. And then I looked to my left, and there was this Jewish man with all of his hat and everything. You know, he's a Jewish man. And then he had the Torah in front of him, the Old Testament. And as he was reading, he was bobbing up his head, you know, and muttering to himself. And I thought, that's meditation. Now, not the bobbing up and down of the head, but the muttering to himself. You know, meditation, you know, please. Yoga is demonic, okay? When they are teaching you about how to breathe and how to sit, yeah, that's okay. But when they get into this lotus thing, you know, and you go into all the empty your mind and chant, every is inviting a demon to come, okay? Okay. Christian meditation is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night." You don't empty your mind as a Christian. You fill your mind with the Word of God. You fill your mind with the Word of God. So that there comes a time when Satan comes at you and you're having all these dreams about dying, And he comes to you and says, you know, your great-great-grandfather died at this age. Your great-great-mother died at this age. You are just about to come to this age. You are going to die. You are going to say, no. It is written. I shall not die. I will live to testify to the goodness of God. My brothers and my sisters, that's what you need. Not, oh God, what am I going to do now? It is true. My grandmother died at that age. No, you are not your grandmother. You are a child of God. Amen. You are a spirit being. Amen. Having a human experience. Amen. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Amen. Far above principalities and powers. Amen. That is who you are in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That is what is meant by this kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. As long as we remain in this flesh, Satan will talk. He will try to confuse you. He tried to confuse Jesus. In fact, he succeeded in confusing Peter. Just a few days ago, Jesus looked at Peter and said, you are Petros. The rock. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And then a couple of days later, he looks at Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Because between that time and this time, the flesh came in. Jesus was saying, I'm going to the cross. For this I was born. I've been telling you, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Peter said, excuse me, Jesus. Can I see you in the corner here? Yeah? I need to talk to you. This shall not happen to you, Lord. Jesus looked at him and said, oh God, this guy, when are you going to get out of the flesh? Get it behind me, Satan. And then he moved on. You have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The one who is, the one who was, and the one that is to come. The one the Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega. The governor of the universe. Amen. The I am that I am. Amen. The lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. The root of Jesse. Amen. Eternal rock of ages. Amen. The one whose word will never return void. Amen. He's the one who says, I give you authority. Amen. To trample upon snakes and scorpions. Amen. And over all the works of the enemy. Amen. That nothing shall by any means hurt you. He's the one who sent me here to tell you tonight. Move away from placebo faith into real faith. Amen. How do you do that? Dive into his word. Meditating in it day and night. Meditating in it day and night. Meditation means that you think deeply about what you've just read in the scriptures. And then you mutter it to yourself. I've been challenging people in the fellowship I lead in Walthamstow, a branch of Kensington Temple, in Walthamstow. You have to learn 52 scriptures by rote every year. It's just one scripture per week. You have, in a whole week, just memorize one scripture that speaks to your situation. And speaks to your circumstances. Hallelujah. Amen. By your stripes, I'm healed. Amen. If you're sick, just meditate. Just think, what does it mean? Go back to it and say, okay, where is that in the scripture? What was before it? What was after it? How would Holy Spirit help me to understand? And I'm telling you, the light will come. Amen. And when that light comes, that's your rhema. You know that 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 you have the currency to transact business for your healing from the throne room of God. Hallelujah. I have three scriptures that I recite every morning when I wake up. And I recite them in my Yoruba language. The first one is Psalm 23. Oluwa ni Olusho agutomi. Emi ki yo shialaini. I will say that over and over and over again. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Not because I am good, not because I am anything, but for his name's sake. Every time I get to that point where I say to myself, for his name's sake, for his name's sake, then I remember Moses. Moses, you want to kill these people and give me another set of people in the wilderness? What will happen to the glory of your name? You read in scriptures, God will say, I will do this for my name's sake. That name that is above every other name. At the mention of which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. He restores my soul. He restored my soul. He spreads a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. Surely his goodness and his mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So I say, my Father, as I step out of this house today, your goodness and your mercies, represented by angels, they are following me. Then I go to Psalm 24. Ti Oluwa ni le ati ekun re. Aye ati awon ti o tedo sinu re. O fi di re sole lori okun o si gbe kale lori awon iṣan mi. Tani ogun ori oke Oluwa lo. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall dwell in his holy place? He that has got clean hands and a pure heart. And then I come to that place where it says, we are the generation of them that seek your face. Hallelujah. That seek your face, O God of Jacob. Then I say, O God of Jacob. O God of Israel. O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. O God of my master and my Lord, my Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. I am part of those people, the generation that seek your face. So today, it doesn't matter what I do, I must seek your face. Because you said, if you seek me diligently, you will find me. I will seek your face because you said, if I seek your face, I will see your face. And so, my Father, as I seek your face today, I must see your, because that is your word. And then he says, lift up your head so you get. Lift up your head so you get, and be you lifted up, you everlasting dust, that the King of glory may come in. Oh, no. He's not coming to visit. He's coming to clothe me with his glory. Hallelujah. Why am I saying all this? To boast and brag that I know scriptures? No. To let you know that that is how you govern your environment. Amen. When we come together like this, we are ecclesia. Amen. One will chase 1,000. For you to chase that 1,000, you must be able to do what I'm saying. Amen. The third scripture I recite before I go, or I pray before I go. Psalm 121. Emi ogbe oju mi si oke woni. Nibo ni ranlowo mi yo hati wa. Iranlowo mi yo ti owo Oluwa wa ti o da orun wa ye on ki yo je ki ese mi ki o ye. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? My help comes from Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth. As I step out today, he will not allow my feet to be moved. Satan, you can throw the best you have at me. I'm standing on the word of God. The word of God is power. I'm standing on the word of God. The word of God is power. My feet shall not be moved. Why? Tori anything pa mi mo ki to gbe. He that keeps me never sleeps. He that keeps Israel never slumbers. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. The Lord is my keeper. Oh yeah, I know how to drive. Oh yeah, when I go on the bus, I trust that TFL has, done their training for the train driver and the bus driver. But I'm not depending on the experts. I'm depending on the one who keeps me, who never sleeps nor slumbers. He will guide my going out and my coming in. So I say to him, Father, I'm going out now. And your word says that you order the steps of the righteous. I declare myself as righteous, credited to my account by the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died and rose, and he says, now praise you belong to me. So, Father, I clothe myself in that righteousness. You order the steps of the righteous. Order my steps to the places where I will receive favor, to the places where you have purpose for me, where your eyes, as a father, will not go with me. Don't allow my feet to go there. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, praise is a weapon. We sing that, isn't it? But the word of God is the sword. Amen. So when I say those things, I am telling the devil and his minions, I've got my sword. I've got the sword. Be careful. Be very, very careful. Hallelujah. When you understand these three things, that your faith must move from the level of placebo to the realm of real faith. That real faith comes from the Word. When you begin to meditate in the Word, real faith will come. Your real faith is what is going to help you to embrace your spiritual identity. Faith will confirm to you that truly you are a spirit being having a human experience. And therefore, you think more spiritually. Hallelujah. You think more spiritually. Spiritual things begins to make sense to you. Because spiritual things are understood spiritually. And then, when you understand your spiritual identity and you connect it with your faith, you begin to walk in the governmental authority that Jesus has given you. You too can go and pull down the altar of Baal in your father's house. You can start with yourself. I believe strongly in self-deliverance. Let me finish so that I can get invited back. Years ago, when I was a staff member in this house, 25 years ago, a wonderful lady came to me and said, Pastor, I need you to minister to me, elderly. She told me what the problem was. So, I was working in the Bible school then as a staff member. I said, come on so-and-so day when, so we went to the creche, where the creche is now. It used to be a classroom in those days. And so we sat down. And I opened the scriptures to her. And we were going through one scripture after another. One scripture after another. At a point, this wonderful lady, she just stood up. She said, I got it now. Pastor, I got it now. And then she ran out of the room. And I'm thinking, you got it now. No, you can't get it now. Well, how can you get it now? I haven't prayed for you. I have not said, in the name of Jesus, come out. Because that was how I learned deliverance, where I came from. There are sometimes you need to shout, I'm a Nigerian. Tango, I'm British. Hallelujah. I've not conducted the deliverance and you say you are delivered. So I sat down there scratching my head. What was happening? And then she ran in again. I said, Pastor, I got it. So I was wondering, okay, she's come for prayer now. No, she hasn't come for prayer. She forgot her bag. She grabbed her bag. Pastor, thank you. Thank you very much. And then she left. And I sat down there in the English of one of my professors. I sat down there discombobulated. Thinking, what has just happened? What has just happened? Who does she think she is? Wasting my time. No. The word of God broke the chains. The word of God broke the chains. The word of God is what breaks the chain. Is the sword. Is the sword. In my ignorance, I didn't know I was giving her a sword. And because she came determined to understand what was wrong and what she needed to do, even before I could open my mouth to shout and say in the name of Jesus, she got delivered. You will be delivered tonight. Whatever it is that you came with, you are not going back with it. In the name of Jesus.